Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Wade Butler, chaplain for the Republics of the United States of America. As always, it's an honor and a privilege to be here, and it's a blessing. And I ask that the Holy Spirit would just make a way tonight that would open doors and eyes and hearts and ears, that he would move mightily upon us. I've been in prayer for a little bit this afternoon, seeking the Lord and direction that we should go, and talking to many folks about what is going on and how things are happening. And we just want to be totally submission to the Holy Spirit and what the Lord wants to do. And I pray that the hosts would come now. The angels would come and camp around about us and give us direction. And I've asked Howard Olson to open us in prayer. So, Pastor Howard, if you would, open us in prayer.
Well, I'd be delighted to. Well, Heavenly Father, God, we just thank you that you are God. You are the God of Israel. You're the God of Canada. You're the God of America. God, you're the God of this world. You are our God, and we are your people. And you, Lord, you also told us that if we build a house and you're not in it, we labor in vain. So we just say, Heavenly Father, God, everything tonight we do, we yield ourselves to you and to your Holy Spirit, Father. God, we just ask you to rend the heaven open. God, open that portal of heaven over this call and come and infiltrate the very presence of everyone on this call. Come into their rooms, Lord. Bring the kabod glory of your glory, God, your presence. Fill our place, Lord. Open our ears. You said those with ears, let them hear. Those with eyes, let them see. And, Father, you know, we've been praying and praying and praying and praying, and we know that our declarations change things in the heavenly realm. You said now, for he who is able to do all things exceedingly and abundantly, far greater than anything we could ask, think, or imagine, way beyond our imagination, because your ways are not our ways. Your ways are so much higher than no matter how clever any of us on this call think we might be, Lord. Your ways are so much higher. And, God, we just ask. We ask now that you just help us to yield our spirits to you and to the prompting of your spirit as we unfold the information that will be coming to us tonight, as we are just sensitive to your spirit to know what to pray, how to pray, when to pray. You said that if we declare a thing and if we decree a thing, it will be established unto us. We know that you're not man and you cannot lie. You're not human. You'll never change your mind. And so, Lord, tonight we just ask you to bring it down from heaven. Lord, bring it down upon each and every one of us. Bring it into our presence. You're no respecter of time or space or persons. And we say, come, Holy Spirit, come. For the sake of Jesus, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, and show us how to pray, what we need to see, what we need to hear, what we need to receive. And God, may it never be the same because of our time here together as a body of believers. You said that if two or three would gather in your name, Lord, there are far more than two or three, that you would be right here in the midst of us. We know that that's true, Lord. And we say by your Holy Spirit, guide us and direct us. Guide us and direct us so that we are just obedient to your call here, Lord, tonight, and that nothing remains the same as a result of the time that we spend together with you here tonight. In Jesus' name we give it. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, sir. Glory, glory. Father, come now, come. Holy Spirit, come. Lord Yeshua, come. Francis was saying to me today, I spend too much time on the phone. Well, I spend an awful lot of time. I'm not going to lie about that. I spend between the phone and the computers, I'm 14, 16-hour days, and many of you are that easily, and you recognize what we go through. Praying, answering questions, seeking, doing business and ministry. And that's okay. I actually enjoy it. It's part of my lifestyle. In that, I got a phone call the other day from a dear friend of mine, Pastor James Gregory. Now, he's a UPC pastor out of Kansas City and got a small church, has been big church, small church. He's also a computer guru. He writes software for Fortune 500 companies, and he's involved on the same board I am for financial direction of a very massive transfer of end-time wealth. We come together and pray, we seek the Lord together, and we share what the Lord's doing, sometimes on a daily basis. They went this weekend to the event that was held in Nashville, Tennessee. And that event had a lot of key names, but I'm just going to talk about Johnny and Elizabeth Inlove. Johnny has this incredible anointing. It's different than a lot of people's. You know, God does differently with different people. And the power anointing comes in such a great way, and he is a seer, and he's able to see, hear, and receive from the Lord. And I've been in his church 10 years ago when he prophesied incredible things that happened. And the Lord had him give up his church and leave. But what they were dealing with was a part of the word that Lou Engle had brought about on 777. And Francis and I, anniversary is 7779. It was 07 he brought this word, but it was powerful. At the same time, going on in different parts of the country, Chuck Pierce and Dutch Sheets were traveling. They'd come together to travel and stand over the, you know, stand for the nations. We were part of the church at the time at Glory to Zion, and we'd just come there. And Linus Vaughn had been there a month before us, and we were just really pressing into the prophetic apostolic ministries. What Johnny and Inlow were talking about was the time and the seasons and dealing with the spirit of Baal. Now, Howard, Gene, and myself and John came together and worked on a declaration, which is going to be day one of our calendar, and it will be in our calendar from now on, anywhere from the front to the back page, depending on what it is. I want everybody to start praying it every day that they can. Howard is seeing great changes, and it's been picked up internationally, and people are adopting it for their nation like we adopted it for America. Now, I asked Howard to specifically write it for America, and he did, because he's both from the United States and Canada. And it ties in. Everything's going to tie in, and you're going to see what I'm going to talk about as we go along here really quickly. Every time Johnny and Elizabeth would bring a high point, the electricity would fail in the building. Now, this is a place that holds conferences all the time. And lightning and thunder would strike when they said it, the power would drop. 20, 30 seconds later, it would come back on, and they'd go up to the next big point. Lightning and thunder would strike just as they were speaking, the power would drop. Well, this happens. It's not just an electrical phenomenon at that church or at that conference center. It happens anywhere they go. It happens regularly. It happens on Elijah streams. You know, a lot of people haven't figured it out. Johnny actually has talked about it. It's a specific anointing, because the Spirit of God moving in the atmosphere, tearing down the strongholds. Well, it was all about dealing with the spirit of Baal and that which has happened in the nations and the churches that are being exposed. And Johnny and Inlow, when they moved to Tennessee, they experienced a corrupt church that was dealing in witchcraft and dealing in pedophilia and all kinds of problems before we're aware of it today. This was 20 years ago, and they exposed it. It caused lots of shifting and breaking down and changed a lot of people's lives that needed to be dealt with. So on this weekend, James and Renee and their adult sons and daughters in the ministry all came to this conference, and he said, wait, when we walked in the room, the hand of God was there. He said, not just the presence of God, the hand of God. People were healed. People were delivered. Signs, wonders, and miracles took place as they talked about the judgment of God. And he sits there going, how in the world can the judgment of God bring signs, wonders, and miracles? Because people repented. Now, in 2007, now this just came out last night, okay, on Elijah's list. And it came out just before midnight. So a lot of people didn't catch it yesterday, or maybe they didn't see it today, because it was not in the normal spot. It was somewhere special. And that was Exposing the Source of Evil in America by Dutch Sheets and Lou Engle. This was the thing that they talked about at the conference. Not, it wasn't planned together. God did this. And he says, this is what the Lord is saying. He says, in 2007, on a several-week session in which spiritual warfare around me had escalated exponentially. It was hard to explain what I felt like was this cloud of darkness and oppression. The attack was daily and relentless, and it was hard to think and very difficult to sleep. I had to resist the attack diligently in order to keep it from overwhelming me. I called a prophet friend. Now, this is Dutch. I'm quoting Chuck Pierce, and asked him if he had a prophetic discernment of what was going about. He immediately prophesied, yes, this has to do with your calling to the nation in the spirit realm of Baal. He is the spirit principality over America, and God wants you to learn about this spirit, how it operates, and how we overcome and overthrow him and teach the rest of us. Now, essentially, he was thrown into Daniel 10, 13 through 20, revealing what the principalities, who the principalities were. And you got to remember something. 2007, not too many people were into the warfare mode. Now, something in the churches I had been involved in, because I started in deliverance ministries, and how it went forth. And teaching how to stand in the gap, when you stand in the gap, what's the call to the nations, how you make the decrees, what the declarations are, and the traits of Baal and the spirits under him, Beelzebub and others. The strong man over America, and how much evil is caused in the nation, which is now coming out to such an incredible degree that it's not just about abortion, it's about the sex trade in churches. 50 churches have been named in a recent publication, and Sharon posted it online also this weekend. But Marquette, I have to get her first name again. Forgive me, I got a problem with that gal's name. She came out, named names. She was trafficked in churches under big name pastors. And you go, how can this be? How can this evil be? Well, Satan and his demons aren't omnipresent, but they have spirits infiltrating churches. I have personally seen, because I am a seer, principalities of cities come in and come to church services and sit there and watch and wait, and they'd leave just before the end when the people would start proclaiming the blood. If it was not a church that proclaimed the blood and the spirit, it would just sit there and watch everybody. It's kind of shocking, but true. Divorcing Baal and renewing our covenant with God became the primary focus of what America needed to go into, and Lou Engle jumped on it. You know, back in 2007, it was 777, okay, that Lou Engle jumped on this and started speaking it and standing and calling out for people to come and pray and to see God's favor and the blessings return to this nation and divorce Baal and repent of our sins. Now, God is bringing America into a new phase of deliverance right now. This decree, which we've gotten together, and I'm going to read it again tonight. I had Howard do it last week. I'm going to do it this week, and it's going to be published from now on. Is essential for us to stand what God is doing for the nations. The Lord of the sea, the powers of the principalities, the rules of wickedness, all those things that have come to stop that which the Lord is doing and try to change the times and the seasons. David Pendleton and I talk about this all the time, where the enemy came in and literally stole 28 years from the body of Christ in the church, and the Lord is coming back. And I had Francis and I had an open vision opportunity to be with the Lord in an open heaven this weekend, and the Lord showed us some things, and he said, sit back and relax, I got this. And you go, it's hard to relax. He says, don't stop praying. He says, but understand that time is accelerating again. I'm taking back everything that was stolen, and no delays for the kingdom purposes were actually accomplished by the enemy, even though it seems like he stole this time. And I says, Lord, it seems like he stole more than time. He stole people. He stole resources. He stole nations. He says, yes. He says, but I could not intervene or step in until my people came in alignment. And they're just finally starting to do that because of the persecution. And Dutch went on to say, he says, I believe that the Lord said this. God is saying he's brought America to a point through repentance and acts of obedience when we can divorce Baal and remarry and recovenant with him. Now, Howard, you got to be laughing because this just came out Saturday night.
Wow.
Okay. Now, the call to Nashville, 7707, 92,000 people attended, fasted for 40 days, and saw incredible moves of God and saw the breakthrough that has taken place now begin. Now, this was 07. Here we are 21, 7 years plus 7 years, so 14 years later, the sevens, now we're starting to see it take place, and God is moving very rapidly. And he's currently doing more in the United States and in Canada than he's done in years as far as what we believe, because of the shift of the church crying out and saying, please, dear God, we've had enough. So this was his prayer. He says, Father, we thank you for your mercy and grace, and we thank you for the blood of Yeshua that cleanses us from all sin and unrighteousness. We thank you that this blood can be applied not only to the individual but to a nation. America has rejected you. Canada has rejected you. We have both broken covenant with you and aligned ourselves with Baal. And we're paying a terrible price for this: violence, bloodshed, deterioration of families, innocent blood being spilled, the sex trade, all this going on under our noses, even in church. We have sown to the wind and we're reaping a whirlwind. For the past 25 years, you've led intercessors to pray the powers of repentance would fall upon millions, filling the bowls of heaven. And you are a gracious God that hears our prayers. It still works. Though many prophetic voices have said, you are now going to restore and heal the land through a great revival, we ask for this, O Lord, but at the same time we understand that we've got to completely divorce Baal and remarry you before this can happen. Father, we thank you for what you're doing in our nation and for the nations of the earth. You will win. You've already won. We thank you for our role that you've given America and Canada this season and this time. We're humbled and honored to see this role as one of serving you and the nations of this world. We know full well that it is not to lord over them arrogantly or assume that we're the most important, but to humble ourselves with thanksgiving and say this will never be allowed to be stolen again. We know that this work on earth is through your people, that we're the mouthpieces. And one of the ways is through prayer. And we ask that you finish what you started in judging Baal and delivering us from the shameful allegiance and alliance with him. Many prayers of repentance and divorcement have now been prayed regarding this. Many prayers of recovering ourselves to you have been prayed. And we're confident it still works. Make this evil spirit spit out everything that is swallowed. Punish him. And do as you have promised. Save America and Canada. In Christ's name we pray, amen. What a powerful, powerful word. Now, I'm not through. I'm going to hit one more thing, and then I'm going to pray this prayer. Hank Kuhneman, which is actually Saturday's word, he says, things are heating up. It's time to welcome the divine distribution and reversal. Now, he's talking about many things. He's talking about the finances, but he's talking about that which God uses to separate light from darkness, that light always overcomes darkness. He says, don't be alarmed at the wickedness that is being exposed, but watch. For some of you even voted these wicked people into office, and now they've been caught with their pants down. Watch. This is a time of dividing. Many will begin to turn on one another and point the finger and show their own lives and the wickedness that they've had, and it's going to be exposed. And where are they? You know, they're all over the place. They're in the churches. They're in every government principality and position. And the enemy's coming. Our nation's surrounded by battleships that aren't ours. They're all over the place. And God is saying, enough. Drought is heating up the nation. The supernatural move of God is saying, my judgment is on the earth, and my hand is upon this nation. And Goliath and all of his are going to be brought low because of that which he's done. There's going to be a great reversal. There's going to be armies of locusts rising up in the nations and bringing destruction. You think it was bad in Africa? Wait to see what's going to happen next. Well, none of us want to hear that. We don't want to hear that God is bringing judgment upon the nation. And he says, are we willing to reroute? Are we willing to step in and get into alignment? So Saturday, when Francis and I were praying, he told me that it was time of the great alignment was taking place right now. An acceleration of all things. Now, Matt hosts a call that I'm on with some wonderful people on a regular basis, Sydney and his wife, and I need to forgive me for not asking about them, Matt. They came down with COVID and were very, very ill. And Sydney said something to me. He says, wait, I'd like to be in the race car with you because you're on a run. You're getting ready to get into that, and you're going to have rapid acceleration. Well, God's saying rapid acceleration through alignment is getting ready to take place right now. He's saying that there's going to be such an outpouring of His Spirit that it's going to shake the nations like never before. Well, that's what we've been praying for. He's got to deal with us, and I say us, He's got to deal with the church first, and then He's going to deal with the rest of the nations. So to get the nations straightened up, He's got to deal with the body of Christ. And there's so much corruption in the body of Christ and so much filth that's getting ready to be exposed that denominations will not stand. Now, if some of those denominations you came out of, I'm sorry. I mean, I came out of the Baptist Church, and that's one of them. And because of what I'm going to read right now, you understand. I don't expect the Catholic Church to stand. I don't expect the Methodist Church to stand. God is going to be doing a new thing. And He's going to be pulling the people together. There's going to be so much hurt from what's going to be exposed over this next 3 weeks that the greatest harvest field is going to be from the denominations, not the world. I've said this over and over again over the last several years. You've heard me say it. The greatest harvest is from the church, Catholic Church being number one, and the other denominations now because of the exposure coming right behind them. So when I asked Howard to take the decree that he was doing over Canada and asked him to come together and add to it to make it for America, and this is what he, and then I asked Gene to add to it, and John and I and Francis helped edit it, and this is what we came up with. You've heard it once, but now you're going to hear the completed version of it, and we're going to do this daily for all those that will join. And Howard has even offered to do a 10-minute prayer thing every morning, but I think I don't know about that yet. It doesn't take any more from him. He already does it with Canada, and he's a very busy man. So we're going to look at what the Lord wants to do with us.
Robin said that real quick.
I need to say this before I go into this. Okay, here's something. You heard the people that were on the why don't you say it? You've read it down. Francis was in the other room doing the pre-call, shouting hallelujah, praising God, and this is what she was getting from Robin Bullock.
Yeah, Robin Bullock, this was from his Sunday service at his church called Church International. And he said, surely the Lord God does nothing without revealing His secret plan of the judgment to come to His servants, the prophets. He says, I'm lifting the fire and bringing it down on Carmel, for the Baals are going to pay, and the Baals are going away, so shout for victory, for the time has come. I will not play with you anymore, prophets of Baal. I'm going to show the filth of the loins of Biden. I'm going to show the filth of the Democratic Party. I'm going to bury their filth, and with those shovels, I'm going to bury them also. The fire has been called forth.
Wow, wow. Yeah, I can see why she was shouting to God. This is our decree for the United States of America. Our forefathers, the Pilgrim Separatists, came to the new world of the North American continent seeking the freedom to live out of the Holy Scriptures. They came to the Lord's table in the wilderness with the objective of seeking liberty of conscience and also endeavoring to advance the gospel of the kingdom of Christ. It was a new world where biblical republicanism began, modeled after the ancient Hebrew Republic, God's government, providing a jurisdiction and liberty for His people in covenant with Him and with each other. Because of the tyrannical pagan monarchy, tens of thousands of subjects boarded ships from the old world and came to the city on the hill seeking civil and religious liberty in America. They learned that this biblical model of government from the pilgrims. Several covenants were made in the Commonwealth going forward that germinated the covenant of the Declaration of Independence. The founding fathers, delegates of the people, united together and crafted God's government, the model government, to form a more perfect union with His law form based on the laws of nature and God's law. God's nature's law. This describes the Creator's will and how His cosmos, the universe, is operative by the innumerable laws of science written by the Word of God, the Holy Bible, which governs the jurisdiction of liberty, kingdom, and heaven on earth. Through the great deception, the American Republic and God's government on earth was put into dormancy, and the corporate democracy came forward and produced great deception masquerading as the American Republic. As led by the Holy Spirit, notice, was served as per the law of the nations that the de jure American Republic was restored in law. For the word of God, it's time for the restoration of all things, Acts 3:21, and dominion is transferred to the saints of the Most High, Daniel 7:27. America's official motto was approved in 1956 by President Eisenhower in a joint resolution of the 84th Congress declaring In God We Trust. The original motto of the United States was E Pluribus Unum, Latin for one for many, one from many, and one of many parts, referring to the wedding, or the will, pardon me, the wielding of a single federal state from a group of individual politic units, which remains on the Great Seal of the United States. Either way, we've walked away from God, and we've become many desperate parts from one. With this decree or edict, we reassert we are one nation under God. Lord, you said in 2 Chronicles 10:4 that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty in the pulling down of God's, you know, I'm having a little stumbling here, forgive me, mighty in God in pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments from every high and lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Lord, also, you said, and if we decree a thing, it will establish unto us. So we make these decrees. God, we acknowledge and reassert that you're the Lord of America and God. We accept that dominion and authority you have given us in Yeshua, Christ Jesus' name. We decree that God of Israel is the God of America, and you will prevail. That gods of this world are demonic idols, and they will fall. We break every covenant in the United States with Baal, Dagon, Zephon, Jezebel, Babylon, Freemasonry, and denounce them all, and ask for a complete divorce from all the principalities, and ask to be remarried to you, our God. Father, you've had power, dominion, and authority since the beginning, and we repent and ask forgiveness for having carelessly given it away. Lord, we repent of our sins of commission and omission, where we knowingly and unwillingly came into agreement with the enemy. Excuse me. We repent for complacency and apathy, which has allowed the devil, his agents, and human assigns to coerce their rule over the land. For the Lord says in Jeremiah 1:10, see today, I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot, to tear down, to destroy, to overthrow, to build and to plant. So Satan and all of your demons, agents, we hereby serve you eviction notice. Get out. According to the word of God, when we refuse to tolerate you, you must flee. We declare that we will tolerate you no more and demand that you go out of this nation, everyone and everything in it, now in the name of Yeshua. We repent for abortion and the shedding of innocent blood, which has empowered principalities and altars in the spirit realm to be established. We repent for all pornography, pedophilia, sex trafficking, and lust of the flesh. We ask, Lord, that your blood speak in its place. We declare that the altars and voices of the spirit realm be silenced now and tore down. We command that every veil and covering that's warping the minds of the people of the nation be destroyed now in Yeshua's name. Lord, we declare that the ecclesia around this nation and around the world is rising up now, and we declare and decree and agree that you are one nation, that we are one nation under God. We say, come Holy Spirit, come and empower us to bring a redefining of our nations and of our nation to bring forth a purpose and identity of you, our loving God. We decree that demon princes over this nation are bound now in Yeshua's name. We declare that all principalities and strongholds are being torn down now in Yeshua's name. We declare that your spirit is loosed upon the land. Realign us, God, for a move of the Holy Spirit in America and upon this earth like has never been seen before. We declare that all works of darkness that have taken up residency in our nation's government, our cities, municipalities, schools, courts, and our churches and homes are being rooted out, pulled down, and destroyed now in Yeshua's name. Realign us for revival. Realign us to unseat the Antichrist's agendas and those that represent them. We thank you, Lord, and declare that you are reseating them with leaders. You are raising up sons and daughters of God who will stand for your agenda locally, regionally, and nationally. We speak that true America, the true destiny of America under your sovereignty be released into the atmosphere of this nation and transform it over the power and decree, by the power of your decree and spirit. Help us to realign culture and government through your power, Lord. We declare that the purpose and plans of this new era are being executed now and cannot be reversed. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, and the waters cover the seas. We declare that we are aligning and becoming who we are meant to be as a nation, as a people. We declare that America is realigning and fulfilling its national purpose and prophetic destiny according to your will, our Lord God. We decree that the hosts of heaven and its angels are organizing around our prayers, helping to bring them to pass as we decree and declare the great things that our nation and our church history and our future are now going to happen. We speak that God is putting his breath back into this nation, and acceleration has begun, and the best is yet to come. We decree and declare that in Yeshua's name, the gods of this world have no power, and that you, Yeshua, Yahweh, are the only true and living God. We decree and declare that all powers, principalities, rules of wickedness are overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, that you are sovereign, you are present, and you are our banner. We declare that you have dominion over this nation, the United States of America, and in Canada. And Lord, we are your people, and you are God. The Lord cries out, the land cries out, Lord, saying, how long, O Lord? We declare that your kingdom is invading this nation, and your will be done in this land from coast to coast, from north to south, even into the ends of the earth. We decree that America will be saved. We align with you, God, and decree that your kingdom is invading the nation and your will is being accomplished even in this hour in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen and amen. Forgive me for stumbling. The Lord is moving in a mighty way. We're seeing the hand. It's being declared everywhere. The nations are seeing it. People in this nation, the liberal media and press are all saying, that they're ruling and they're reigning, and nothing that is said by the conservatives and or their God can be heard. And God is saying, watch. My hand is coming down. And just like that word from Robin Bullock, he's going to expose, bring down, destroy, and plant them. Now is the time. This is the season. Father, we thank you for that which you're saying over this nation. You're exposing it through the prophets around the world. They're saying it in conventions. They're saying it in churches. They're saying it on street corners. And the wickedness shall be exposed. Lord, bring it about. As you spoke to Francis and I Saturday, accelerate it now. It's in your hands. We surrender unto you with thanksgiving and a grateful heart in Yeshua's name. Amen. And Sharon, that deserves a shofar.
Now give a shout back.
Glory. Glory, glory. Hallelujah. John has got a powerful word. He's also going to quote some things from Dutch, and then Matt's going to bring that which the Lord has shown him. He's got a teaching and a powerful word that he's going to share, and then we're going to go in some time of prayer. John Rockwell.
Well, thank you, Wade. What I'm going to do tonight is going to be relatively rapid fire, because I've got a lot, so I want to do it so we can devote more time to prayer. So I'll start off with a few words, and I'm going to play a piece from Dutch Sheets' song, which he talks about a song, and then I'm going to back that up with a song from James Vincent. So I'm going to just play them back to back so it'll flow a lot easier and quicker that way to where we can get to the prayer. But the words that I have for tonight, that you may need to help people becoming whole again. In other words, that's kind of what the theme has been tonight, that we're going to be coming back to God and he's going to make us whole through Yeshua. and there's going to be miraculous restorations are before you and before us at this particular time. We're going to declare breakthrough, rise up, and take back the ground, which, again, that's kind of what the theme that Wade's been talking about tonight, that we're taking that back and we're decreeing and declaring those particular things. The wind of sudden change and changes and the direction of that wind are going to be coming, and it's going to be a brand new season. And there are natural and spiritual floods that are here, and we need to continue to abide in Jesus and his name and Yeshua. And if you've been looking at things that are going on around the world, you've seen earthquakes, you've seen floods. And I was watching one in China the other day that there was this water that just covered like a six-lane highway, and all there was like hundreds of cars just floating on top. That's what this word is talking about, those kinds of things. That's in the natural, but it's also going to happen in the spiritual, which I believe it's happening there first before it happens here on earth. So as most of you know, music and songs are really key to what I listen for. And when I listened to Dutch Sheets this past week, he had a title of one of his Give Him 15s. And if you haven't listened to Dutch Give Him 15 over the past several months, I would definitely encourage you to listen to him, because he has got some good words. But this one, it was entitled The Song, so I thought, well, this one's got to be something key for me to listen to. And when I listened to it, I thought, yep, that's what I'm going to use for Monday, because, again, what the song is, what kind of got me as well is I believe one of his grandsons introduced him before he did his Give Him 15, and that even touched me more. So here is Dutch Sheets.
Hi, my name is Mason Weinberg. Welcome to the Give Him 15. I am introducing my papa, Dutch Sheets. He is the best papa in the world. He takes me fishing.
Good job, buddy. Thank you. Thank you, Mason. What a great job he did. Thank you for joining me today. I appreciate it that you meet one of my favorite people there. The title of our post today is The Song. It was 11 years ago, July 4th weekend, 2010, our nation's birthday. I should have been in a celebrative mood. Instead, I found myself pensive and in deep thought. At times, tears flowed. Thankfully, none of this was caused by bad news. It was actually a song causing this strange frame of mind. Music has incredible power to touch us at a deep level. And like the inaudible voice of God calling a salmon back to the place of its birth, the lyrics and powerful melody of this song were calling to something buried deep within my DNA. I couldn't shake it. I didn't want to. The song was Pioneer, written by the incredible Nancy Honeytree and recorded again by my friend, Rick Pino. Rick had sent me a pre-release of his recording, stating that the song had an intense impact on him. I was its next victim. Pioneer speaks to the calling, challenges, often lonely life, and rewards of a spiritual pioneer. I'll read a couple. I won't read the entire song, but I have all of it for you in the post. And the verses read, "Uncharted wilderness stretches before you. You thrive on going where no one has gone. Still it gets lonely when darkness deepens. So sing by the fire until the dawn. You travel light, you travel alone, and when you arrive, nobody knows. But the Father in heaven, he's glad you can go. for those who come after you will need the road. What you've done, others will do, bigger and better and faster than you. But you can't look back. You got to keep pressing through. There's a wilderness pathway calling you. Powerful song, and I'll put a link here. You can actually listen to the song if you'd like to. I knew why the song was impacting me so intensely. It was describing me, my calling, my nature, my goals, and yes, at times, even my emotions. I am a pioneer, and the lyrics were calling to this nature deep within my spirit. The powerful words and melody were penetrating and searching my soul, forcing me to delve deep into the circuitry of my inner self. Are you still up for this forerunner calling? Is the price you're paying still worth the potential reward? Are you willing to travel a few million more miles, be misunderstood at times, sacrifice family and fun times in order to be a pioneer of spiritual and societal change? Like all pioneers, I've known the lonely roads and uncharted wilderness pathways. Pioneering isn't easy, but it is essential. As the song states, those who come after these agents of change will need the paths they find and the roads they build. And at this point in history, America is in desperate need of those who can lead the way back to the old road. There are different aspects of this calling. Few are called to do what I do, traveling millions of miles and leading prayer efforts in every state. I've been to all of them multiple times. But as we shall see, conditions on earth sometimes demand that God place a degree of this pioneering spirit on many in a generation. Christ is currently placing a holy restlessness, a heavenly dissatisfaction in many of his followers. A growing number of believers realize radical change is needed in America and are becoming increasingly unwilling to accept status quo. A pioneer generation will usually think differently than the one preceding them. Some people mistake the questioning nature of pioneers as rebelliousness, but it's often simply a God-given predisposition toward change. If it ain't broken, they'll reject Southern wisdom and fix it anyway. After all, there might just be a better way. Leave well enough alone? Not this crowd. They would rather create the flow than go with it. Creativity doesn't bow to conformity. Pioneers love to explore ideas, possibility, a forest, small towns, new places. It doesn't matter what. They just need to explore, search, scout around. The dictionary defines a pioneer as someone who explores, prepares, or opens up a new way. Someone who takes the lead or initiative. We've all read or heard about the early pioneers who opened up the American frontier, preparing the way for others to follow. We often refer to those who forerun in space, in space exploration, or technology, or medicine, or even science, as pioneers. They're found in every area of life, including religion. Pioneers initiate. They go first, always ready to try something new. Not only are these waymakers open to change, they insist on it. There must be a better way is never far from the thinking of a pioneer. They are inventors, explorers, scouts, pathfinders, trailblazers, innovators, reformers, and forerunners. Pioneers are the research and development crowd, the what-if bunch, the why and why not folks. They'd rather write history than read it. They'll rock any boat, buck any system, and go against any flow. Status quo is never safe with a pioneer. Here are a few more identifying traits of those who have the pioneer gene. They're often dissatisfied with things as they are and want to be a part of the change. Something deep inside their nature comes alive when they hear about making a difference. To them, being in the right is more important than being in the majority. The inconvenience of change doesn't dissuade them. The stench of stagnation does. Trying, even when they fail, realizing that dead ends and failed attempts are just part of the path-finding process. The beaten path doesn't beckon pioneers, but uncharted wilderness does. Playing it safe doesn't appeal to forerunners. The boredom of the familiar scares them more than the fear of the unknown. These instruments of change are never satisfied with status quo. They have a warrior spirit that would rather fight, even die, than forfeit liberty. As forward thinkers, they would rather advance a cause than maintain a position. Always hungry for change, a pioneer can't leave well enough alone. They want their life to count for more than making money or experiencing pleasure. Making a difference means more to this crowd than making it big. They would rather die trying than live trying not to die. They march to the beat of a different drummer, and they often hear a completely different song. If you are a pioneer, don't settle for being a settler. Don't allow the need for the known to tame you. Doing so would mean part of who God created you to be will never find its voice. Voiceless pioneers experience a living death. Their inner nature never finds its expression, and the world they were created to change remains the same. Determined never to allow that. Find your voice. Better yet, find your shout and make a difference. Deep in the soil of this land is pioneer blood, crying out for a new generation of trailblazers to answer a pathfinding, pioneering call. This spirit is so needed now because America has lost her moral and spiritual bearings, straying from the basic principles that made her great. Truth, integrity, personal and corporate responsibility, self-discipline, biblical morality, and the ideals of our founders all have been at least partially lost. America now needs a new generation of pathfinders and waymakers to arise and lead us back to our roots. Ironically, the way forward is sometimes behind us. Contrary to what many people believe, old is not synonymous with outdated. The future must always be built on yesterday's strong foundation. The psalmist said, in fact, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? The church should have been leading America back to our foundations, but Christians seem to have lost their connection to the pioneer spirit. Deep within the DNA of every believer is the spirit of Christ, the pioneer of all pioneers. But this nature has been lost in the wilderness of conformity, religion, and compromise. God, however, is issuing a fresh and powerful invitation to believers. Leave behind the safety and boredom of tame, anemic religion. Abandon the shallow life lived by the all-too-common narcissistic Christian in America. Overcome the fear of death, loss, and the unknown. Follow me back to what I birthed 2,000 years ago. Radical, world-changing, miracle-working, fearless, love not your lives unto death, passionate, warrior-hearted pioneers. Heaven is waiting for a remnant of God-fearing Americans to answer this call and begin a path-finding journey. Earth is waiting also. Broken hearts, hungry bellies, enslaved people, war-ravaged nations, and the unsaved. They are all desperately waiting for a 21st century breed of pioneers to arise and lead. Perhaps you're one of them. Pray with me. Father, we need a remnant of pioneers to rise up in this moment of history. Pathfinders, trailblazers, those with the same spiritual DNA and predisposition as the early church. Fearless, bold, different, risk takers. Anoint them powerfully and help them find their voice. I ask you to break the conformity to the world off of the church. Bring conviction, repentance, and passion. Let the zeal of the Lord of hosts come alive in a dormant, hibernating church. Awaken us. Bring revival, then bring great reformation. Yes, we are desperate, but we are also confident. We know this will be granted, and we ask it in the name of the greatest trailblazer who ever walked this planet, Yeshua. And our decree, we decree that we will blaze a trail for God's will to be done in America. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Father, just needed to say something after that, after I listened to it again, that us on this call fit that particular mold of blazing the trail that is in front of us and bringing the church back into correct alignment with you. And we just praise you and thank you for giving us that and putting that in us to do that as we continue to move forward in Yeshua's name. Amen. Amen. And now the piece of music that I've chosen is, again, one of my favorite people that prophesies and sings. His name is James Vincent, and this is another good song, but a short one.
Lord, you hold the earth in the palm of your hand. You hold the earth in the palm of your hand, it's yours, and we are yours. Oh, you hold the earth in the palm of your hand. You hold the earth in the palm of your hand, it's yours, and we are yours. Oh, you hold the earth.
And yes, we have to remember that God does hold us in his hands, and he's got this under control, even though we try to do some of it on our own. And I was talking with Wade earlier, not today, but the day before yesterday, and he was just saying he's got to relinquish a lot of stuff that he tries to take care of and just let him take care of it. It's part of what him and Francis were in ascension over the last weekend. So we got to remember that, and that's why that song fits tonight. So with that, I'll go ahead, yield back to you, Wade.
Wow, powerful, powerful. I was reading the latest thing, Johnny Inlow, it just hit a new text. This is exactly what we're talking about. And the word of Luke 4:18, Isaiah 61, it's prevalent. Now is the time, this is the season. And I just want to, before I pass on to Matt, I just want to say something. You know, where it talks about the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and he's anointed me, the anointed one, the Messiah, to preach the good news, the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to announce release of captives and recovery of sight of the blind, to send forth a delivery and deliver those who are oppressed, who are downtrodden, bruised, crushed, and broken down by calamity. He says to proclaim the accepted and acceptable year of the Lord, the day when salvation and free favors of God profusely abound. He says, then he goes on down, he says, he rolled up the books, the scroll, to give it back to them. And he said, you know, today, the hearing of this word is being fulfilled. This day, it is happening. Matt? Bring what you got, sir.
Awesome word. You know, it's so true. The Lord is just working in each one of us. He's been preparing each one of us for this time, this season. And, you know, one of the things I just wanted to touch on tonight, that pioneering spirit, you know, all revolves around the Lord, the Father, the relationship, and allowing him to guide us. And one of the things he's really teaching us in this time, you know, things like the spirit of Baal, is to rely on him. You know, it's all about relationship. David Pembleton and I talk quite a bit about some of these things, some of the wickedness and spiritual things that happen. And there's really a lot of strategy in each one of those. You know, these things are only dealt with according to the Father's leading. David, who spends a lot of time and continues to spend time in the courts of heaven, has learned how to navigate these protocols. And one of the things that he does very well is when he identifies a strong demonic stronghold, he doesn't immediately engage it. He spends time researching it, what it is, how it operates, what its mission is. And only then, after the Father leads him, will he go into the courts and deal with it. You know, as the Lord continues to press into each one of us, it's all about being under his leadership. You know, that pioneering spirit also takes wisdom, the spirit of wisdom, to know when and how to move. In Mark 9, Jesus, when he healed the demon-possessed boy, of course, the crowds argued and the Pharisees argued. And the man that brought him, this boy to him, told him what it was. It seized him, threw him on the ground, foamed at the mouth, all these things, gnashed his teeth. And he asked his disciples, but they couldn't drive out the spirit. That's when Yeshua came. And he said this very word. He said, you unbelieving generation, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? You know, you think about that, and you think about what Wade talked about earlier with the church. The church, in many ways, has gone off that path. And they've become that unbelieving generation. even though they look the part somewhat, they're not truly in sync with the Father. Faith is the key. Having questions isn't the problem. It's doubt. It's being impatient. It's moving on our own accord, not His. Learning to operate in His rest. As Dutch said, a pioneering generation learns to move, accept those challenges. Doesn't mean they'll make mistakes, but they always know where to come back to. Yeshua, of course, healed that boy. And he said these words, everything is possible for one who believes. It's faith. It's knowing where you're grounded. You know, when we think about this nation, we think about Canada and the world, it's coming back to that very center plumb line. And his disciples asked him in private about that very thing, about this spirit. Why couldn't we drive it out? He simply replied and said, this kind comes out only with prayer. And prayer, you might ask, isn't that what they were doing? But Yeshua was referring to something much deeper, something that was greater, that could only come by being in His presence. That's the very thing that He's calling each of us into. There's been great growth in all of us, and yet there's a greater role. I wanted to read these words to you that really summed up and captures this. This was posted on July 28th. It is the season for my first fruits to manifest. My remnant, who is being prepared, have come out of Babylon, have walked through the fire of testing and trial. I speak to you this day. You see the fulfillment now of all that has been prophesied, and you will walk in my full authority and power. I will pour out the needed measure of oil of anointing that is required in order that you will be able to do the work I have begun, and it will be completed. Your emptied, weary vessels will be filled, overflowing, and I will make you instruments of righteousness so that my glory and my presence will be made manifest for all to see. It is the season now of my first fruits to manifest. You know me intimately, who rest in the power and protection of my precious blood. You will know no fear or doubt as you see the collapse in the natural of all that has been known to you. Come to me as you always do, often, and repent. Do not hold on to things of this life any more than is necessary. Continue to keep away from the distractions and listen for my instructions. They will come to you as you learn to hear my still, small voice, and you will act and move accordingly. Continue to pray and intercede for the lost, as many will perish. Remember, I am in control. Never forget this. You will soon understand so much more. The keys you have been given will open even more revelation and even greater understanding. The great and mighty winds of judgment are here, and your wait is almost over, my loves. Whew. You know, when I read that, it really puts a bow around everything we've talked about tonight. It's about that relation of the Lord calling us all back, just as 2,000 years ago when He birthed His church. The foundation, that rock, is really the Lord. You know, the Lord has led us in many things recently in the heavenly realms. He's led us in dimensions in between where the spiritual wickedness and fallen beings take place. You know, those spiritual beings up there have knowledge and technologies beyond what most are acquainted with here on earth. If you think about it, their understanding comes from that realm, not the physical, but that realm. That's why it's so critical for us to continue to grow closer and closer in Him, because the time is upon us. Just as said, that word said, it is the season for my first fruits to manifest. You will know me intimately and rest in the power and protection of my precious blood. It is the key. You know, that, my brothers and sisters, is a choice each of us must make individually, and much will be required. You know, the pioneering spirit, again, is about sacrifice. It's about willing to brave the frontiers. It's about willing to sacrifice everything else for him and his kingdom. Jude said this, Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about this. See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone and convict all of them of their ungodly acts, who committed their ungodliness and all defiant words of ungodly sinners spoken against them. The book of Enoch says this about the fallen angels. Observe ye everything that takes place in heaven, how they do not change their orbit, and the luminaries which are in heaven, how they all rise and set in order, each in its season, and transgress not against their appointed order. But you have not been steadfast and not done the commands of the Lord. You know, that's why there's such an uproar. And as things escalate, the cost is greater. Even in the book of 2 Daniel, it talks about a time we're coming into where those kings, the God of heaven, will set up the new kingdom and will destroy and crush all those kingdoms. It's a huge opportunity and a huge responsibility, but each of us on this call has dedicated our life to learning, to growing, and our desire and our passion burns brighter than ever. Paul Keith Davis wrote this again on the 28th. He said, in every age, God's spiritual voice that is validated by signs and wonders always calls that generation back to the lordship of Christ. This was especially true during the latter rain revival, as numerous ministers admonished the church to relinquish their personal agendas and programs to embrace intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. There's your plumb line. Moses had a face-to-face relationship with the Lord. That exchange facilitated the apprehension of the desire for complete leadership of God's covenant people. When we, in this generation, discover that place of friendship, we will also understand more fully how the spirit of the Antichrist has infiltrated the church with a counterfeit anointing that usurps the spirit's leadership. You know, that's a chilling, chilling reality that is unfolding right before our eyes right now. But it is a necessary change of leadership that will bring about his kingdom purposes. It's time for his kingdom generals and soldiers to take back the territory. Just imagine all the things, all the technologies just waiting to be discovered, long hidden, some held captive, but God. You know, the doorway is now open for business, the kingdom business. And each one of us is stepping into the greater reality of that. And what an honor it is. Many of us have come a long way to this very point in time. But it's well worth it. So, Father, we just thank you so much for all your generals that you're raising up and bringing your church out of religion but back into relationship. For your plumb line, for your patience, for your very grace and mercy to which you wait on each of us because your timing is perfect. As you sit and you bring us into that place of rest and refreshing and revelation, Lord, through that you impart your desires, your will, your plans. Lord, many of us have that warrior mentality. We just want to go out there and take back the land. But as we've seen, it must be done through the proper timing, protocol. And most of all, we must move according to your perfect will. Father, we just give you all the glory, honor, and praise for your sovereign will upon this land. We know what was, but what will be greater. Much turmoil will come as the kingdoms of this earth are unthroned. Lord, may we have a heart of grace and mercy and love, most of all, as transitions take place. And may we reflect your perfect love. Lord, we just give you all the glory and honor and praise for all you're doing and all you're going to do. In your precious name, Yeshua. Amen.
Amen, amen. Do you want to do communion, or would you like one of us to do communion, sir?
I think the Spirit's going to lead you. Who's going to do that?
All right. All right. And I hope everybody's got their elements. But Bruce and Linda, would you lead us in communion tonight?
Will do. Yes, we do. We are prepared for every good work. Glory to God. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your word that has come forth from our brothers and from Dutch Sheets and from the others. Father, we thank you that your word has healed us, Father God, and Yeshua Jesus is the word. Father, in the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word was God. The word is God. And Father, we thank you for that living word. Father, that Yeshua came to this earth. He gave his life as a sacrifice for us, even while we were yet sinners. Father, we thank you that that word now indwells our hearts. It empowers our lives, Father God, and gives us the conviction to move forward, Father God, and bring forth your glory as your ecclesia in this earth. Father, we thank you that Yeshua has borne our sicknesses and carried our diseases, that by his stripes we were healed, that we are healed, that we walk in divine health and divine life now. And Father, those brothers and sisters who are ailing and hurting in body, mind, spirit, Father God, we lift them before your holy throne. We thank you that that cleansing power, Father, the sacrifice of your Son, has paid the price for their victory, Father, even now in the mighty name of Yeshua. Father, we receive the bread tonight, remembering that broken body, that we are now your body in this earth, Father God, set to do your will, to bring forth your glory as you would ordain on earth as it is in heaven. And Father, we thank you as well for the precious blood of your holy child, Yeshua, that blood that was shed for the remission of our sins, Father God, that we are cleansed, pure, and holy in your sight now, only through his precious blood, that we are overcomers through that blood and through the testimony of your word. We declare that Yeshua HaMashiach is Savior, Lord, Healer, Deliverer of all of our lives. Father, we thank you that as we take the elements tonight, we participate in that redemption, Father God, and that you send us forth as the redeeming force in this life, Father, to bring others to you, to bring others into that glory, Father, that you would have for all of us. Father, we take the elements at this time. We give you the glory and praise in the mighty name of your precious child, Yeshua. Amen and amen. Partake.
Glory, glory. Praise God, praise God. Thank you, sir. We're going to do some prayer here for a little bit now. And I've got some specific things that need to be prayed for. And Matt, I'm actually going to call on you first because I want to deal with this. And Gene, you're going to be second in this situation. Matt, Carmen and Greg Russell are at home. They both have pneumonia and COVID. They can't hardly even do a text. They're so weak and coughing. They're on the ivermectin protocol plus a nutritional protocol. Would you, and they are part of our other group, Matt, and work. And also, if you'd pray for us on this call, most people don't know these people, but I want to lift up another prayer for Sydney and his wife. If you pray for the four of them, Matt, against this horrible attack that the enemy's brought upon the world.
Absolutely. Father, we just... Lord, there's just so much going on with this evil virus that has been unleashed upon the earth. And Yeshua, we know that your precious blood and your healing, the victory's already been done. But Lord, we just want to step into that right now, into the fullness of that precious blood for Carmen and Greg, and just surround them with your healing, precious blood. Lord, everything that you did at the cross eradicated these diseases, Lord. So I just call upon that, release that right now over them to help this healing and this virus be eradicated from them and cast out. Lord, I also ask that you guide the doctors and the physicians, Lord, in the proper way. Lord, continue to give them the instructions that are going to facilitate a quick, speedy recovery, Lord. And Lord, that you bring your spirit, Holy Spirit, refreshing into each of them and surround them with your heavenly host right now. Just flood them with your presence. For those and their family members, Lord, so that their continued mission for everything that they're involved in your ministry, Lord, can continue to carry on so that your plans and purposes will be fulfilled. I always lift up Sydney and Suzanne. Lord, love them both very dearly. And I know they're in your presence right now, Lord. So I just continue to stress Sydney and Suzanne as well, Lord. We just give you all the glory for what you're doing. And we can't wait to see the testimonies of both Greg Carmen and Suzanne Sydney. Lord, we just give you all the praise, glory, and honor. In your precious name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, sir. Gene, Roger Waters is on. His wife, Beth, just went through that lower back surgery and fusion and rods. And it is a challenge at our age to overcome. When you had something like that earlier, you bounce back quickly. Would you pray for them in a quick recovery? Because you know both them through our work at the Republic, and that Roger and Beth would be touched and the mighty hand of God be upon them, whatever the Lord leads you to. And then give us an update and any other prayer that you have on your heart. And Sharon, I'm calling on you next.
It's kind of a privilege. And I've been in prayer for Roger and Beth. Beth through the surgery, and now it's healing time. And we've seen a great victory in the successful surgery of what she's been through. And this is a surgery with rods put in the spine. And not easy. So, Father, we live before you, Beth Waters. And we thank you because of her. We thank you because of your daughter. We thank you because of our sister. We thank you, Father, that you are not done with her. In fact, it's just the beginning in her life. I thank you for the witness of your spirit in her life, for your word that comes across her tongue and her lips. I thank you, Father, for all that you have ahead for her, and also that she is in a cord of three with her husband Roger and with you, that these are faithful people. These are people that are given to you. They are part of the family of Christ, and they understand. They are bold. They are fearless to stand in the face of the enemy, to stand in these times, to proclaim the good, glad news of Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. And Father, I pray a hedge of protection around them. I ask that you would supernaturally charge Beth right now in the healing process, that you would help her to overcome every obstacle as she heals, that every invasive part in this back healing would be stronger than it was to begin with, that you would give her a backbone in the supernatural that she would never have imagined otherwise. And also, Father, that you would strengthen Roger as he watches Beth go through this time of recovery, that you would gird him up, that you would even give him a fresh anointing as he's reminded of his testimony and what he went through, the miracle he went through in 1995. Oh, Lord, let your praises be on their lips, for it's by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony that we bring glory to you and the good of others. We thank you and praise you because of them. And we thank you, Father, that you have a perfect work for them to complete and that they were born for such a time as this. In Yeshua's name. Regarding our brother, as mentioned just before we began, I did talk to him last evening. He's hanging in there. You know, his words are always perfect. That he blows me away how perfect his words are. And I know his heart is there. And I know that where he's at is hard. My imagination tells me that when you know that change is upon you and you don't know what you're going to walk into, particularly when you're in the belly of the beast, I would imagine that it's uncomfortable. He's waited so long. But I encourage him. By the way, I hand wrote a transcript from the prayer call, half the prayer call, when Matt explained some of the depth of when he went into the heavenlies with the bench and what was said. I just knew in my heart it would encourage him, it would give him something to hold on to. And the prison is holding all of his mail, so he didn't get it. So I just verbally told him. And every time I talk to him, I tell him, the Father got a new watch battery, and things are moving. And when I explain what Matt had shared, and that he was like a bishop, a piece on the Father's chessboard, and that he was going to move. The next time I spoke to him, is when he said, they're moving me. They just told me today they're moving me. And I just had to cackle because that's the Father. So he needs grace on his life. And also his wife, I spoke to her today, and it's a hard period for her right now. It's, you can imagine. And I'd just like to mention that I've come through a real unique experience in the spirit. In the past week, I have a sister that's, she's in hospice, she's in passing, she'll pass this week. And I led her to Christ many years ago, and have a tremendous testimony about her and my mother, who passed 14 years ago right now. And the testimony is so huge, and the revelation that he's given me for my call for right now is so huge. And what I want to say to you is, as the Father separates us out, and we've been going through a separation process, and I just went through another one, and it was hard in its own right, because it's, you know, there's questions there. Am I doing the right thing? I've witnessed before these people for decades, and I found my peace in it. And I can tell you that you are all seasoned from the things that I hear you say, so you already know this, but I want to speak it again, that when we obey, then comes the revelation. And big revelations are coming at us right now. And glory to God in the heaven, we need them, because these are serious days. So I hope to encourage you that you are separated out for his purposes, and how graced we are to have one another, and that we have the testimonies of one another that we can cling to and hold to as we also walk in his spirit in these days. And I bless each of you in Yeshua's name. I yield.
Thank you so very much. Sharon, you are seeking the Lord if there's a word. You can't take a whole lot of time if you got one. But I also want you to pray for Barry, Howard, Greg, and Stephen. Right after you give whatever the Lord's given to you right there.
Oops, I was muted. Okay, hello everybody, and God bless you all. I'll just repeat what I said, and what a powerful call. I on Wednesday, on the phone call to Canada, I just waited for quite a bit and let everybody share what the Lord was doing, and then the Lord just put on me, he said, it's time to call out a Mount Carmel victory. And I was like, okay, well, I want someone to call on me if that's what you want to do. And I waited, and I needed to get on the road, so I couldn't be on the actual picture, the actual Zoom. And so the Lord said, just tell them. So I stepped in and said, okay, after that, it was quiet. We got done praying, and there was nobody talking. We were just praying in tongues softly. And I said, the Lord said, it's time to call out a Mount Carmel victory. And he had me read out of the Mount Carmel victory. And Brian got the word that, Sharon, you're supposed to pray a prayer. Well, before he could say it, the Lord told me to pray it. And he said, this is going to go out and touch lives, many, many lives. This is going to go out and change things. He could feel the power of it. And so you, Francis, reading that about Robin Bullock tells me we are in for a Mount Carmel victory. And what does that call for? But that we are to be bold into who our God is, because Elijah was very bold as to who God was. And he tempted and taunted the followers of Baal and said, where's your God? Is he, sleeping? Maybe you should cut yourself some more. Maybe he's just busy. Maybe you need to get louder. And this went on all day. But the thing that Brian pointed out, which I found was very, very important, was that Elijah waited until the time of the evening sacrifice. He waited till it was God's time. And whose God shows up with the fire? He's the God. And the fire sure did come down, didn't it? And it ate the licked up the water in the trench that had, I think, 6 gallons of water in it. From what I read it, I think Asaiah is 3 gallons. And it ate the rocks. It burned the rock, the altar up, and it burned up the sacrifice. So that I just wanted to share that because I felt like I started crying when that got read, because Wednesday was when the Lord had it released. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Sharon, I got to tell you this, that you just brought that in. I had no idea you were going to bring that in. You know, this is a God thing. What Francis didn't share, because Bullock had so much that he brought, he said he's gotten reports from the people that are coming out of witchcraft that the prophets of Baal are once again cutting themselves to try to get some direction from Baal. Mount Carmel all over. Glory.
Praise you, Lord. I'm moved. I am moved to my very core of my spirit that he had us speak that out. And Brian said it's going to touch 7,000. It's going to come back. It's going to be so powerful. It was Ken of the Maritimes, Admiral Ken of the Maritimes. And he said, I felt the Lord saying, tell Sharon to pray that prayer. And he said, Sharon, you didn't even wait. You just prayed. Hallelujah. Okay. So, Father, right now I lift up our precious brothers, Barry, Howard, Stephen, and who else?
Dr. Greg.
Lord God, I lift up our precious brothers across the aisle. You just showed me that we're just reaching across the aisle to them. I lift up our precious brothers, and I thank you, Lord. You know each one of them by name. And, Father, I thank you for what you're doing in their lives. And I speak, Father, that, you know, your word says no weapons formed against us shall prosper. And we are coming into agreement with that. This is the time for us to stand and to say, the God that answers with the fire, he's the one true God. So, Father, I ask that you would answer with fire on their lives right now in the name of Jesus, that you would go and you would answer with fire on their lives in the name of Jesus, the one true God, because that is who you are. And you're showing us, Lord, by your word that is going out and not returning void, and you are watching over it to bring it to pass. And I lift up Barry. He is the weeping prophet. He's the Jeremiah of this generation. And I lift up Stephen, the percussionist, Father. And I praise you and thank you for what you're doing in Stephen's life. And I lift up Dr. Greg, Lord, and the call that you have on his life. And I lift up Howard. And Howard is just very, very powerful in the ministry of the decrees. And the angels honor the edicts. You showed me that. So, Lord, you're culminating. You're bringing together all these things. And you are with expectancy, excited, like you showed me today on the phone with Wade, rubbing your hands together, so excited, so expectant of what's getting ready to come with Wade and with these brothers of ours as well, Lord, that we're coming into agreement. As Gene said, the triple braided cord is not easily broken. No, it is not. It cannot be. And it's comprised of us, the Father and the Son and the Spirit. And, Lord, I'm thanking you that this prayer is not falling flat anywhere, but it is going heavenward, and it is sending angels out right now. And the one God, the God who answers with the fire, let him be God on all others, a lie in the name of Jesus. And we say, answer with fire on their lives now in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
Wow. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Diana Lund, I love to hear you pray also. And I know that with all that you've done, you've got yourself muted there, Diana. I'm going to ask a specific prayer from you. You've been in an awful lot of ministry. It crosses the line in every area that God's used you. And my cousin Martha and her husband Vern, who's been a dear friend for, I can't even remember, Francis and I have been together 42 years, and I've known Vern almost all that time in one capacity or another. But he's also a man of God. He's ordained as a minister to the Lord. They both are called in the mission field. And Vern had leukemia, and they caught it early. He just got out of the hospital last week. Many of you have heard us pray for Vern and Martha. But I'm asking, Dana, this is like somebody calling in to you on a prayer line, that you would lift him up for total recovery, restoration of all things, and the manifestation of healing. But it's time now. Whom God has called, God's going to equip, and they're called. And it's time. And the enemy tried to shut him down by killing off Vern and causing undue stress on their marriage and everything. Dana, if you would lift up Vern and Martha King, I'd greatly appreciate it.
Sure. Father, I just lift up Vern and Martha King to you, and you know everything they've been through. And Father God, your word says that the enemy has to restore seven times what he has stolen. And so, Father, I just send out the angels to bring in that restoration for them. Father God, I thank you for the angels of healing and strength and recovery, Lord, of everything they have lost, their health, all of their financial situation, Father God, anything the enemy has stolen from them, Lord, you have records in heaven of it. And Father, I just call that forth in Jesus' name. You said in your word in Isaiah 54:17 that no weapon formed against us will prosper and every word spoken against us will be condemned, because that's our heritage. And I claim that over these people, Lord. I thank you, Father, that every word that has been spoken against them, I break all hexes, vexes, curses, spells, incantations, rituals, dark arts, new age, all forms of weaponized demonic activity, all originals, backups, and replacements in all spiritual dimensions would be broken and fall to the ground and die in Jesus' name. And they will have the mercies of God covering over them in an abundance, Lord. We thank you that your word says in John 10:10 that you came to give us an abundant life, and we command that abundant life over them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, I love prayer warriors. I can't get enough prayer warriors. I have started intercessory prayer groups that have grown into churches. I've been involved in different prayer groups around the world, and it does my heart good for someone that stands for the Lord and brings forth the scripture and tears down and builds up. Thank you. Thank you, Dan. I'm going to pray for Gene and David. And Gene, the Lord said something to me while everything's been going on. It's the reason I'm going to stop right now and pray for you and David and your family. And let me give some background. This weekend, Francis and I had an open vision of the Lord. I just needed to talk to the Lord, and I was talking to him. Francis and I were talking to him. And I won't go into all of it, but we literally were in a scenario where the Lord had us sit down on a bluff behind his mansion overlooking the kingdom. And he rebuked me on a couple things about concern and worry, and he also said I need to do certain things, and he told Francis some of her giftings. But then he says, I want you to just sit here, and I'm going to give you the picture, and I'm going to paint a picture for all of you. We were literally sitting on wooden chairs with cushions on a bluff overlooking the kingdom of God, a waterfall and a river and the crystal sea, and we could see so much. I mean, the wildlife, the flower, everything is so incredible. We feasted on fruit from the garden and that the angels gave us, and we're having this vision. And the Lord, I said, Francis, do you see what he's doing? And she got it. She sensed it. She said, he's holding our hands. So the Lord's sitting in between us, and I'm sitting on his right hand, and she's sitting on his left hand as we look out, And he's just holding her hands. And he said, now, he says, you just need to rest. And we sat there for about 15 minutes. Nothing was said. We just took in the breeze and the beauty and the glory and the majesty of the Lord and sat there and held his hand. Now, this was a vision that he gave us, okay? But he said, this is the vision for you and David. You have pressed in once again to do the work that he's called you to do, and you're about done. I'm sure that you're at the point of publishing. If not, it'll be soon. And this new work is going to go out. And he's saying to you once again, it's time for a rest. It's time for you to soak and just have people pray over you and you pray for others and to sit there and on his back patio looking out over the kingdom and hold hands with him. He says, it's time to be quiet, it's time to rest, and don't fret over anything because he's getting ready to do that which he said you will do through you. And he says, he understands, this is his rebuke to me, and it's a loving rebuke that he also gives to you because you've prayed many times and know his heart. But he said, I had concern over the people that I'm involved with, many of you on this call, for the Lord's mercy and grace to make the way, to make provision, to heal, to deliver. And he said something to me that was so powerful. He says, it's your concern for those that you love. I said, yes. He says, but it's my responsibility. He says, you can't affect one iota of their life except in me. And he says, I've got them. They're my responsibility. And he says, it's time for them to sit in the chairs with me and just rest. And it was total quiet. I mean, we could hear the birds and we could feel the breeze and hear it. And there was an eagle flying above us, and it was an incredible scene that he showed us. But he said to me that it's time to rest, and Jean and David, it's time to rest again. It's going to be a different rest. It's entering into his rest in a different place. You will physically still be active and spiritually still be active, but you're going into a time and a season of rest that he's calling forth to refresh you. I'm not prophesying you're going to write another book, but I'm saying that he has another work, which is even a greater work, but you're going to need rest from this one, from all your research, all your prayers, all your efforts, and that Tim and Karen and your family and everybody else that you're concerned is his responsibility. Don't take on more than what he gives you, that he's pouring out a season now of rest for you two, that he's going to recharge, regenerate, and renew you. And the fruit from the garden, I told Sharon and I told Matt, I said, it looked like the size of a mango, but it was a mango, pear, peach, watermelon. It had the juice of a watermelon, the flavor of the peach and the pear and the mango blended together, and it totally brought refreshing. He said, eat of this because you will have need of rest and refreshing. And the Lord is saying he's going to give you fruit for you to eat to restore and refresh you in the season that's ahead, because once things begin very quickly, it's going to be so rapid that many people will not be able to understand or begin to keep up. But those that have seen and those that have heard and those that are willing to walk under his wings will understand completely and rejoice in the day. And Jean, I speak this over you in the name of Yeshua.
Amen. That bears witness. Thank you.
Bruce and Linda, Connie has been one of the faithful ones all these years. She always shows up, first one to get here, last one to leave. Never has a whole lot to say unless I egg her on. Even with all this, she still gets a little uncomfortable. But the Lord instructed me to have you pray for her and her stand in what she's called to do. And I have this sense that with everything that's going on, most people feel they've been set aside. And I sense that about Connie. I don't know if it's true or not, but would you and Linda pray for Connie?
Will do. Father, we thank you for our sister, Connie. Father, she's yours. She's your child. She's a precious child. She's in the center of the palm of your hand. She's covered under your wings, Father, and your eyes are upon her. Father, you've not forgotten her. You've not set her on the back burner. She's not lost in the eddy of the stream flowing by, Father, as she's left by the shore. Father God, she's in the flow. And we thank you, Father God, you'll not leave her behind. Lord, you know the calling and the work that you have for this mighty woman of God. We thank you, Father God, for giving clarity in her heart and vision. Father, and opening the gates, opening the doors that you would have for her, Father. We thank you, Father God, that she's not been set aside. Father God, she's been purified. She's being purified. And Father God, you have different vessels. Some are vessels of wood. Some are vessels of gold. Some are vessels of silver. Father God, every vessel is yours. Every vessel is important for your given purpose. Father, we speak life over Connie right now in the name of Yeshua. We speak life in her inner man, in her spirit person. Father, I thank you that she's going forward. She's not going backward. She's going forward, Father, and you're leading her. You're taking her by the hand, Father God. She'll not fall off to the left hand or to the right. You're going to bring her through, Father, to the perfect victory that you have for her. And, Father God, we just speak rejoicing in her heart, Father God, that she will have the knowing that you yourself, Father, have brought her into this glorious place. And, Father God, that she will have the knowing that she's doing the work that you have called her to do. The fulfillment, Father, the joy in her heart, joy unspeakable and full of glory. Father God, that it would just overtake her, bless her, encourage her, lift her up, Father God, and flow through her for your honor and your glory in the mighty name of Yeshua. And we give you that glory and praise in his precious name. Amen.
Amen. I've got a time for a couple more. We're not going to go to 10 tonight. We're going to be done here shortly. Martha. You've had a few chances to at least say hello to Sharon, and you know that she hears and that she sees and that she's walking in a new place. But I'd ask that you would lift up Sharon and her husband Greg and her mother Willow, lift up the family. To undergird them as an intercessor and the mighty woman of God that I know you are. And then if Vern would come in at the end and add anything that he thinks. And Vern, I'm going to go ahead and unmute you. There was some background noise earlier. But Martha, would you lift up Sharon?
Amen. Thank you. Father, I bring before you sweet Sharon and Greg, mighty people of God, your children who listen and obey, who speak boldly, and without reservation, your word, your spirit, your prophecy, your truth. I ask you to refresh them and to bring them to that beautiful place that you showed Wade and Francis, your glorious balcony where they can sit and rest at your feet. Feel your hands upon them. And just take in your glory, your splendor, to be recharged and refreshed for the journey that you are setting us out on very shortly. Renew their strength, renew their stamina, youth in them, physically, mentally. Restore them emotionally, Lord. Restore everything that has been taken from them. As they press into you, Father, these dear people who serve you and love you and love your children, love your people, Use them mightily for your glory, Lord, as we all stand in awe and cheer them on. In Jesus' name, amen.
Vern, have you got anything to add into that?
Well, listening to what Sharon said earlier, and having been in the presence of Satan and knowing that he is totally defeatable, that he has no power over our lives, I just lift him up today, Father God, and I ask you to continue to cause the spirit of prophecy to work in them for the edification of your children, to break down walls and strongholds and fears and phobias of the kingdom's purposes and plans, that you walk alongside them, Father, because you promised them that you would never leave them. And today I just ask you to lift them up, strengthen them in everything that they do, give them the power of your Holy Spirit to be certain of what they say, to be certain that you are with them and your presence to be with them, and cause them, Father God, to continue to raise up more and more people that will work for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, sir. Stephen, thank you for making it. I'm glad you could come. I know you've been traveling and experienced an awful lot of stuff this last 2 weeks, and you're getting ready to do it again. If you want to, take a couple minutes, so anything the Lord's put on your heart, and then I would have you pray for John Rockwell and Janet, what the Lord says about. They're on vacation right now. They're celebrating their 42nd wedding anniversary, so happy anniversary to them, and taking a few days off. And they're calling in from that vacation cabin where they're staying, to be on the call. So, Stephen, if you would tell us about what the Lord has got, if he's got a word for you or something about your time, and then if you'd pray for John and Janet Rockwell, I'd appreciate it, sir.
Happy to do that. I'm glad I was able to jump on here. I jumped on at just the right moment. It just kind of when Matt was sharing, I tell you, it really ministered to my heart. I've been texting with Dr. Greg a little bit. I've had a hard day here, and just hearing what's been brought today, I mean, it's time for victory. And he said I'd be laughing, and I really am. I'm laughing on the inside as I think about, you know, our God winning at Mount Carmel, and I think that's just such a timely word for so many of us. You know, Canada's in shambles. We have, as in America, communism is at the doorstep, or at least they think it is, and Bale thinks he's got this country too. But man, I spent several days with the man that God has said is going to be our prime minister, and well, Derek Sloan's his name. I can say that openly now because it's actually gone out. Barry released that on Elijah Streams, and actually he was on with His Glory and Amanda today. He did the recording. It'll be released on Thursday, so be sure to tune into that. But, you know, we are entering a season of victory, and so I tell you guys, the prayers for our country, we are so grateful, and they're working. The movement has started in Canada to take back the nation. We're sensing the shaking in the church. We're sensing the shaking in the political realm. I was driving on the car with Derek on Saturday, actually after visiting Barry and some other folks from his church, and Derek says to me, "This is the guy that's going to lead our country." He says, "I want people to not be able to tell the difference whether they're at a political rally, a concert, or a church service." And then his next sentence was, "I want it to be so natural for the gospel to be shared that it's everywhere all the time." So when we also hear about what the Lord's doing in President Trump's heart, what he's doing in Derek Sloan's heart, there is reason to celebrate and just claim the victory, declare it over our nations. I understand you did the decree over that Brother Howard has led us in, and Canada here, and now going global. It's so exciting. Another sign, that's the march around Jericho. So all glory to our God. And let's lift up John and Janet. Lord, thank you for these two servants. Thank you for John and the faithful ministry that it brings. I've learned so much from him. I appreciate the calming presence that he brings, and his sensitivity to the frequencies and music is such a ministry. So, Lord, as they celebrate their anniversary, give them a special measure of your favor. Let them feel your warm embrace. Let them see you, Lord, in the center of their relationship. And let this be a time that they come closer together. And as they prepare as well to celebrate the great victory coming, that they be encouraged that their time, their sacrifice spent on their knees seeking your face has been for something, has been for victory. Thank you for these wonderful two. Heap your blessings on them, angels you're sent to minister, and create some special memories for them as they're together celebrating. In your precious name, amen.
Amen. Amen. I want to thank you all. I pray that the precious blood of Yeshua would cover you and your families, that he'd watch over you and keep you, that the host of heaven and the angels would come and manifest themselves to you, that you would be able to see into the heavens and had open heaven visitations readily. The Lord has said he's calling up people, and that to come up higher, and literally that means to come up into heaven, come up into the third heaven or the fourth dimension, as they call it, into his presence. He's also manifesting himself here on earth, which he's always done, but he's doing it more readily now. It's happening all over. Some of you don't know how to pray that, how to get into the heavens. It's actually not that tough. God wants more and more to come. But pray for the manifestation of not just Holy Spirit, but the Lord Yeshua in your home. Sharon has had him manifest sitting on the couch while she was reading scripture. There's Nadia, who drives back and forth from the United States and Canada daily. Every time she's been going through the toll booth where it reads the number of people in the car, it'd only be her, but two people would show up, and she'd be talking and praying to the Lord at that time, and it would bill her as two people. I mean, you can't fake these things, people. That's just God showing up. So he wants to move in everybody's life. I want to give special thanks to each of you that shared tonight, and Bruce and Linda for your faithfulness and jumping right in, and everybody for their prayers. I couldn't do this without John. I couldn't do this without Matt and all of you that contribute. Steve Loopster, I'm so glad that you're turning the corner. And Steve, is your blood pressure a little better now this evening? Have you checked it again? Steve, I accidentally hit you on and off.
It's up a little bit now.
All right. And I
appreciate the prayers.
Steve was suffering, went to the hospital and got back out, and now his blood pressure has been running low, and he took himself off one drug, and his blood pressure is rising back up and normalizing. And I speak normality in your blood pressure and your health and well-being in the name of Yeshua and by his blood.
Amen.
Tonight the Lord said to stop. I'm going to be faithful. Not everybody got prayed for, not everybody prayed. But next week we're going to pick back up what the Lord says to do. Once again, he's been faithful. Understand that the decree that I prayed over the United States, and that which Dutch and Johnny Inlow and Robin Bullock has been saying that we share tonight, it sounds like a hard and harsh message, but it's God's mercy, because the world cannot come into alignment and agreement until the church gets dealt with. And the church is going to get dealt with first. He's always said it would, and it's going to come down like a hammer, and it's going to come down now. There's no more delay in what God is doing. And myself and many others have prayed no more delay for the finances, because we're involved in that. And you know, no more delay, no more delay. But God says no more delay in his judgment. you got to accept judgment to get in alignment. And when you get in alignment, his mercy and grace overshadows his judgment. And that he wants people to come up so they'll know his great love is being poured out, and the judgment's not meant to harm any of those that are seeking after him. It's to get them to repent. And many of those fallen leaders are going to repent, and many are not. But there's over 50 churches outlined in this indictments and things that with the pedophilia and human trafficking. Churches! You know, God's not going to allow it any longer. The prophets of Baal are going to be crushed. And it is time. It is time. It is time. Lord, I thank you for this evening. I thank you for the precious word. I thank you for the blood, the promise, the hope, the deliverance, and that which you're doing. I thank you for healing Carmen and Greg and Roger and Beth and Vern and Martha and all of us that are suffering. Lord, I said to pray for Willow and we missed it. Lord, she is a prophetess of old. She passed on the spirit to her daughter Sharon, and her time's not done. She's going to hear and see more clearly now because the youth needs to have the experience of the saints that have walked in the anointings for years to be able to understand what's going on. And Willow, I say, you shall prophesy again, and you shall speak over many, many people, and the glory of the Lord shall be upon you in Yeshua's name. Thank you all for your faithfulness. Thank you, Greg and Howard and Stephen and all those our northern brothers and sisters. And thank you all for being here this night. May the Lord bless you and keep you and watch over you and give you rest and peace, and that the glory of the Lord be manifest. And he spoke to me, and he says, everywhere, every time I hear my glory, to shout it out, glory, 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 let the glory of the Lord come upon you and your household. And let him manifest, because he left the earth and left his glory on us for those that would walk in it by his Holy Spirit. And he said, greater works would we do, but the enemy has convinced us that we do not have the power, and the power is in his glory. Receive it in Yeshua's name. Blessings unto all. I say good night. I'm turning off the recording.